In our July 14th show, we quoted Ugo, Victor Ugo, saying that the June 30th, 2013 Egyptian Revolution brought to mind his words, quote, "The counterfeits of the past take assumed names and are fond of calling themselves the future. That specter, the past, not infrequently falsifies its passport. Let us be ready for the snare. Let us beware." So long as class exists, power will never, can never, retire this magician's trick, this attempt to pass repackaged relationships of class off on us as some bright and shiny, more just future, a sleight of hand which is, just as Ugo said, palming the past in a false show of open hand, that it will down the road unceremoniously shove down our throats. So it's time to look around us and say, is this what we want? As the future power plans for us is but a harsher version of what we have right now. Let us be ready for the snare. Let us beware. But how? The past, not infrequently, falsifies its passport. This observation has been repeated often over the centuries because it's a constant of class. It's a constant that power has had of necessity to maintain its legitimacy, to dress up the same old class relations, the same old closet totalitarian thinking, and then present it back grandly to us as something new. I.e., we are surrounded by, trapped in lies. And if we are trapped in lies, that's containment. And as we said last week, rage comes from containment. And believe me, that starts early. That starts as toddlers. And we'll revisit that thought when we talk about that gentleman I heard this past week at advocating training babies. He's so mistaken there. They're here to train us. Trust. De Tocqueville also took the French Revolution as his exemplar to show this constant rechurning of the same old under the regime of class, although the power relations of class were for him, as for Ugo, a given. Quote from de Tocqueville, "No nation has ever before embarked on so resolute an attempt as that of the French in 1789 to break with the past, to make, as it were, a scission in their lifeline, and to create an unbridgeable gulf between all they had hitherto been and all they now aspired to be. With this in mind, they took a host of precautions so as to make sure of importing nothing from the past into the new regime, and saddled themselves with all sorts of restrictions in order to differentiate themselves in every possible way from the previous generation. In a word, they spared no pains in their endeavor to obliterate their former selves. I've always felt that they were far less successful in this curious attempt than is generally supposed in other countries, and than they themselves at first believed. For I am convinced that though they had no inkling of this, they took over from the old regime not only most of its customs, conventions, and modes of thought, but even those very ideas which prompted our revolutionaries to destroy it. That, in fact, though nothing was further from their intentions, they used the debris of the old order for building up the new," unquote, from the old regime and the French Revolution. As we said in our conversation with Joel McIver, if we don't have an accurate assessment of the system, we can't craft a viable alternative. How the problem is defined is critical. Albert O. Hirschman in The Passions and the Interests pointed out, quoting de Tocqueville, that if you can get the many chasing money, it leaves the few who play the higher stakes of power freer to pursue their ambition. And that ambition is global supremacy. For a reason, not in and of itself, to install the perfect order, the perfect state, to fulfill the dreams of their paterfamilias, Plato. And in this global game of power, we the people serve as fuel, Our lives, consigned as they've been to power's purposes, have historically, i.e. from the perspective of self-creation, been nullified. But the internet, thanks to Nikola Tesla and his tribe, has finally shifted the terms in our favor. If we see the problem as being caused by corporations, then the solution put forward, I have to bring something for that hole. I am so done with it. Then the solution put forward is to limit the corporation's ability to make profits, which will do nothing to return our earth-given gifts to our exclusive use where they belong. Corporations serve as privatizing means for power, consolidating the resources of the planet in private hands. So we need to ask ourselves, what would put those resources in our hands, which is only fair since they are ours. And of course, the most determinative resource for how the world is shaped is we, the people. And that's part of the interview with Joel McIver that I did with him. If freedom seems ever, each time we rouse ourselves en masse to seize it, seems afterwards to slip away out of our grasp, the analysis pundits of all eras give us is self-serving, state-legitimizing, wrapped up and festooned as a supposed function of the inevitable compromises of the human condition. Blah, blah, blah. If we want to live together and collectively progress, i.e., class always remains or attempts to remain hidden